You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern and 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Be sure to follow Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Or text in voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Drop us a voicemail or a text message whenever you're listening to the show, wherever you're listening to the show. All right, want to get right to it. Like we mentioned on yesterday's episode, we have Mark Silverman, a.k.a. Sovey, from the Waddle and Sovey Show on ESPN 1000. He's here to talk to us all about this Bulls mess going on this weekend, just the state of the franchise in general and kind of how he feels, what callers are telling him. It's a really great interview. So without further ado, here is Sovey.
Right now, we're very pleased to welcome to Locked On Bulls for the first time, Mark Silverman. If you're a Chicago sports fan, you know him simply as Sovey of the Waddle and Sovey Show. Weekday afternoons on ESPN 1000. Recently celebrated their 20th anniversary at ESPN 1000. You can follow him on Twitter at Waddle and Sovey. Sovey, welcome to the pod, man. It's been a while. We've tried to get you on. We're so glad to finally have you.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things. I've been looking forward to it. And, you know, whenever I get a chance to talk Bulls, because there's been so much time consumed on the Bears, rightfully so, but I can never talk enough Bulls. So they're one of my favorite teams. I grew up probably 1 and 1A, Bulls and Cubs. So sort of a rarity for Chicago people, because the Bears are usually number one with everybody else. The Bears are a close second to those teams, but the Bulls were one of my first loves growing up.
Of course, of course. I mean, the 90s Bulls still hold a candle for all of us who lived through that. Of course, on your show, Monday through Friday, at this time of the football season, everybody wants to talk Bears and nothing else. Of course, we've got the huge Bears-Packers with a potential NFC North crown clinching game on deck. Everybody in the city is talking about Bears, as well they should be. But I mean, the Bulls are making their own headlines this week, not necessarily for good reasons, as they sit at 6-22 with a new head coach. Let's just basically start here, Sovey. What is your biggest takeaway from all of the events and reports and the practice that never was and the head coaching transition that has unfolded over the past week or so?
Yeah, the way I've looked at it, guys, and maybe I looked at it a little bit differently, because you know, I'm just frustrated as a fan. And again, all my takes on this comes as a fan. It's not like as a media guy or stirring the pot or hating or anything like that. I want right. The Bulls to be great again. And my whole thing is, there's been too much time on our show over the last decade spent on Bulls infighting, you know, going all the way back. And I even cited this on the show, going all the way back to signing Ben Wallace. You sign this free agent that you get, and literally like 10, 15 games in, you're fighting over him wearing a headband in New York at the Garden, and you knew he wore a headband. You know, right. The bigger issues like the infighting with Derek and Reggie Rose against the front office, or the front office against Tibbs, or Pax against Vinny, or Jimmy and Dwayne Wade against the bench guys in Rondo a couple of years ago, or Miritich against Portis last year. It's always something, is my takeaway. It's always drama. And I'm tired of it. I could sit here, and I'm happy to do it with you guys. We could sit here and we could break down, well, who do you blame more? Do you blame Boylan, who's sort of being a fake tough guy? Or do you blame the players who, after a 60-point loss, don't want to even practice? And what are they entitled? Why are they acting so entitled? But you asked me for my big takeaway. My big takeaway is enough is enough. And while I believe that John Paxson wants to win, and I believe that John Paxson can scout guys and has done a decent job drafting throughout his career, I believe it's just time. It's time. I wish that that ownership would just say, we need a new set of eyes. And there's too much drama going on, whether it's this or whatever it's going to be next year. And it will be something next year if they continue to run the show. So my big takeaway is enough, and it's time for real change.
It seems like it's the same cycle every single year. The Bulls find a way into the national spotlight for bad reasons. And it's going on three straight years at this point, with the Wade and Rondo and Butler situation, to the Bobby Portis, Nico Miritich fight, and now this blow up with the entire locker room. So let's backtrack a little bit. Last week, right, Fred Hoiberg was fired as head coach, right, of the Chicago Bulls, only got Lauri Markkanen for one game, one single game. What was your thoughts at the end of Fred Hoiberg's tenure here? Did you feel it was justified to fire him now and move on from this? Or did you feel like that Fred Hoiberg deserved another chance to at least get those guys that he had in his rotation back and be able to see if he's got one last shot to put this all together?
I'm not sure if you guys know how I felt about Hoiberg. And, you know, the funny thing is, in all these dramatic things, I sided with management on the Tibbs years. I loved Tibbs, and I think Tibbs is a great coach, and he's a smart coach. But I believe he's stubborn, and I believe there were a lot of flaws that he simply refused to correct. So on paper, I was a big fan of the Fred Hoiberg hire. He checked all the boxes in what I wanted. He was a guy who played in the league, so he knew how to identify with players. He was a guy who spent time in the front office in Minnesota, so he knew what it was like to deal with the front office and where the front office would come from a personnel standpoint. He was a guy who does have head coaching experience at Iowa State, so he sort of had experience in everything. And I thought, with his high pace offense, the pace and space, Tibbs never really wanted to play downhill, and that he would work in conjunction with management to get the most out of a veteran team that he took over at the time that Tibbs refused to step off the gas, and he overplayed guys' minutes, whether it was Joakim Noah in the last game of a year in Charlotte when he had a bad knee. So I loved the Hoiberg hire until I saw him coach. And even though it was a clunky roster, I felt like he could have done better in his first year. And then they decided to change the roster, and I felt like he didn't maximize that either. And then finally we got a young team, a rebuilding team, and I know he's never been given shooters. So I've always agreed with guys who tell me, Sylvie, they screwed him. He never got the players he truly deserved. Totally. I'm with you guys on that, who voices that. But I've seen enough from Fred Hoiberg watching every single Bulls game over the last 3.5 years that I know he's just not the right fit. He's not Steve Kerr. He's not Brad Stevens. And I feel like even though he's been screwed, I saw enough from him to understand that he wasn't the right guy. With all that said, and sorry to be long-winded, I felt after all these years of complaining about Fred Hoiberg, only the Bulls front office can make him a sympathetic figure to me because, you know, I couldn't wait for him to go, but in the way they do things, and it's always one of their guys too. You know what I'm saying, guys? I mean, like, Tibbs was Pax's guy. I mean, no one wanted to give Tibbs a head coaching job. Pax did. Pax saw that. Pax wanted him as an assistant coach years ago, but they couldn't hire him. They finally gave him his first head coaching job. What a find. Great scouting by Pax. And then who couldn't get along with him in the end? Pax.
Right.
Gar and his guy was Fred. You know, Gar bought Fred Hoiberg's house when he played here in Chicago. Gar coached him at Iowa State with Tim Floyd. But in the end, they had a falling out. And I just don't understand this. How can these guys not even get along with their guys? And that's sort of a long-winded answer in saying, yes, I understand. He should have gotten a chance with these younger guys, but I knew he wasn't going to ever be a good coach for the Bulls.
You need to use Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend, family, or anybody on your holiday gift list. Great for anybody who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody that loves the outdoors and hates being cold. Action Heat clothing provides toasty, warm, and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released for this winter. Action Heat, we've got a special offer for our listeners. 20% off your entire order. Go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay warm while you're enjoying all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. We thank them for being a sponsor of Locked On Bulls.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Sylvie. You do feel some sympathy for Fred in the way that the Bulls just gave him a bunch of different awful, they dealt him a bunch of awful hands, and he played the best he could. At the same time, I was fine to see them move on from Fred, because whether it's believing that he can actually be a good game-to-game coach, and I always had issues with his rotations and in-game adjustments and opponent adjustments and taking advantage of mismatches and things like that. I had doubts about him as an actual X's and O's coach, but in my opinion, more important than that, he clearly seemed like a guy who could not control NBA egos. And at the NBA level, that's half the job as a head coach. The other thing that we've kind of been talking about over the past week or so is that they replaced Fred, who was kind of, in their eyes, not tough enough, with Jim Boylan. Enter Boylan. Everybody's immediately recognizing the similarities between Tibbs, the guy they fired because he was too hard on his players, and replaced him with Milquetoast Fred Hoiberg. And now they fire Milquetoast Fred because he's not tough enough, and they replace him with a tough guy. What are your thoughts on that weird transition? Yeah. Do you feel like the Bulls are kind of going backwards with this Boylan hire?
It's like the three Bears, right? I mean, except these are the three Bulls with their coaches, you know. They can't find the right bed to sleep in. You know, one's this and one's that, and then they're trying to find the guy who's just right, but they keep swinging in these extremes. And you know, the problem I've just had with this Boylan entrance is it wasn't like they brought in Jim Boylan from the outside, who has just noticed all these bad things that have been going wrong, whether it's with conditioning or whether it's with a commitment to practice, whatever it is, or a need for discipline. Jim's been in the building for 3.5 years. And I know that Fred's the boss, but if one thing Fred's proven is that you can do things to Fred Hoiberg, whether you're a player or whether you're an assistant coach. So I don't understand what Boylan's been doing for 3.5 years. If you're a guy's top assistant and you feel that your team isn't conditioned right, do something. Say something to the head coach. Tell management. And now all of a sudden he's trying, I believe, I know he's always been sort of tough, but I believe he's trying too hard. I don't believe he's being true to himself. And I had a big problem, guys, too, with the Bulls not making him interim coach. And I think the reason why they did that is because they didn't want to make it like a substitute teacher was watching over the classroom. Well, what happened in the first week, even though he wasn't interim? Like, we had a nearly total rebellion. So everything they were guarding against happened anyway. And I don't understand why you couldn't just say, he's interim. He has a chance to get the job. We'll go through a real coaching search at the end of the year. And if we feel Boylan's the best candidate after we do a real search, fine, we'll give it to that guy. But now you may have the Bulls front office going back on another thing that they've said in the long line of we're getting younger and athletic and, you know, Paul Gasol's part of our core. And it just is going to continue the lack of trust between the fans and this front office.
What is your take on the way Boylan is coaching, the way that he's treating these guys like high schoolers? And this has been a polarizing topic for like the last 3 or 4 days now. You know, half the Bulls fans say, well, why are they complaining about practice? They should want to practice. And you've got national radio shows coming on saying, oh, you know, they're not tough enough and they're practicing us too much. And it bothers me because if you break it all down and you realize what was happening, 2.5 hour practices, 90 minute shoot arounds, watching film directly after games, running wind sprints right after back-to-backs, like all of this together adds up and no other NBA team operates like that. So I think I agree. He's taken 2 or 3 leaps over that fine line between embarrassing your players and trying to make a statement. So do you see this lasting at all with any of these players with how frustrated they were this weekend? And they say it, they have it all done, but I feel like there's some lingering feelings with some of those guys.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But in that essence, too, I don't totally leave the players blameless. I'm with you. What they've done, what Jim Boylan's done and what management's wanted Jim Boylan to do is amateurish. I mean, it's hokey. It's not – even when Tibbs would practice them hard or Scott Skiles, I mean, the Bulls have had these types of coaches a lot. Scott Skiles changed the culture. Remember that year when no one thought the Bulls would win 35 games, and by the end of the year, they were basically a 50-win team, I think. And, you know, they were winning with Eddie Curry, and they were winning with Tyson when a lot of people thought those were guys that you couldn't win with. But Skiles changed the culture, but he didn't do what Boylan's doing. And I don't think Tibbs did, at least announcing, you know, going to the media and saying that. I think there's a way to handle it and to change a culture behind closed doors a better way. So, but again, a lot of these players, it is time to work. And the only good thing is hopefully a lot of these young guys, and Lowry in particular, because I would assume, you guys could give me your opinion, but I would assume he's all of our favorite player. And I think that my opinion is he's going to be the best out of anyone they have by far. Yeah. And I like Wendell too. And I love some of the things that Wendell's been saying. So I just hope that Wendell and Lowry aren't poisoned by this. And it doesn't rub off poorly on them from either side.
That's as we're talking with Mark Silverman, a.k.a. Sylvia, the Waddle and Sylvie Show on ESPN 1000 here on Locked On Bulls. Sylvie, I really like what you just said there as far as like poisoning the minds and the spirits of these young players, because Paxson always talks about trying to build the right culture. And at this point, you get to a point where it almost seems laughable. An organization that always preaches, oh, build the right culture, and we want our young players building the right habits, and the things that go on in this organization that get national media attention. We've come to a point where this week, with this near mutiny that went viral, that we are now a laughingstock. The once proud franchise that was, you know, Michael Jordan and turned the NBA into what it is today is now a laughingstock. So I'm curious about this. When it comes to Paxson and the way that he tries to spin things and talking about building a positive culture for our young core, I mean, you've interviewed John Paxson for your radio show several times over the years, and you guys do a great job with being civil, but also asking some tough questions that the fan base wants to hear the answers to. And I don't know if there's anybody in this city who's been a front office executive for a professional sports team in Chicago longer than Paxson has at this point, who's done all the radio interviews and is as good at spinning as Paxson is. Earlier today, we heard a comment from him talking about how after everything that went down this week, he felt like the Bulls had a really good week. And he was talking about a really good week that included a 56-point loss, a 19-point loss, both at home, and a near mutiny of his players not receiving their new head coach well. when you're interviewing Paxson, does it bother you the way that he tries to spin things? And from your seat, like, if I ever got to interview Paxson in my life, it would take all of my willpower to not just go in on that guy. How do you do it?
Right, right. Look, and it's the one thing that Waddle and I have on our show, like a few things, relationships are very, very important to us. Now, I will never, if I have a good relationship with somebody, I will never not say what's on my mind. Even though I've had good relationships with people, I'll say it the way it is, because I feel like you'll lose credibility with your listeners. But I also think there's a way to do an interview, and we could all, like, a lot of people want me to scold John, and my job isn't to scold him. You know, I only could ask the questions and try and make them pointed questions and follow up answers that I don't agree with, well, why do you think that? So, you know, I think it's one way, and I take a lot of pride in trying to ask the tough questions and knowing what the fans want to ask, because I'm a fan myself. I could tell you this, and I think I've shared this a little bit. I've had lots of off-air conversations with Pax where we yell at each other, and or John will hear something that he doesn't agree with on the radio, and we've gone back and forth before about this stuff. And, you know, I think what I feel, and I feel like a lot of Bulls fans feel the same way. And getting back to what John said today, it's asinine. I mean, I don't understand how anybody could sit there and say that what the Bulls went through this week, with players not wanting to practice on a Sunday, with having to have a two-hour meeting with a coach who's being phony baloney, with a franchise that just fired a head coach, which is a rudderless ship basically and has no real idea on how to get the next star. And let's face it, how do you get out of these rebuilds? You get lucky in the lottery and you land Derrick Rose at number one, or you get smart and find out a way how to get a free agent. Well, you're already bad at landing the premier free agent. So when you have a messy front yard like that's been on display this week, why would anybody want to consider you? And it's tough enough in a cold weather city like Chicago. Guys want to go to LA. They want to go to the West Coast. So here's a city that has never gotten the prime free agent. And the perception out there, whether it's right or wrong, and it's probably more right, is they don't treat the guys the right way. Jimmy Butler, fallout. Derrick Rose, fallout. You know, Dwayne Wade. You know, Michael and Scotty, that didn't end the right way. So now when you hear all this, someone's going to want to take your money? It's bullshit. I mean, it's laughable, and everyone, all of us, deserve better.
We actually just put out our recent episode yesterday, and the title of it was "The Chicago Bulls Fans Deserve Better." We get calls every week, similar to you guys. You guys get them in hundreds, though. We get voicemails from passionate Bulls fans all around the country, and emails and text messages internationally. You know, and the fans are fed up, and they don't know where to go from here. They want to root for the team, right, and they want to root for the players, but they make it so hard. And the thing about Paxson, so too, is Matt and I here, after the rebuild, after they hit the reset button, Matt and I were fully on board with the Jimmy Butler trade. We were cool with that. We were ready for a fresh start,
right,
because that's how we felt was the best movement. And for the most part, a year and a half of moves, Paxson and Foreman have done a pretty decent job. But then it's like, right, they find this little bit of adversity, and all of a sudden everybody goes and hides. And then all of a sudden it's a spin, and it's lying to the fan base. When I thought, in a year's time, we almost had cracked that door open, and Paxson was being truthful with the fan base and actually saying what they were going to do. So I guess that, I think, is what makes Bulls fans and what makes me the most angry is just the lies and the spins, and I can't get over it. And so I guess Bulls fans are asking, like, where do we go from here? Do we continue watching games because we love the players, but at the same time, we hate the moves that the front office makes. So we're all stuck in the middle, I feel like.
You know, something I was telling Waddle the other day, and I think you bring up a good point with the voicemails and that you guys get and the calls that we get, is I feel like the Bulls fan base right now is one of the smartest fan bases in Chicago. And I believe one of the reasons is because it's a young fan base, and it's a fan base that was groomed during the championship years. So while this has always been a Bears town, there in the last generation in the last 20 years, 25 years, since the first championship, and now we're 20 years away from the last one, that these people, whether you were 8 years old watching the championship and you're now 28, or you were 18 and you're now 38, you know, you grew up rooting for these teams and understanding basketball, understanding all the smart things on how you can be aggressive with trades, how to maneuver the salary cap, how to draft, you know, how. So I feel like the Bulls fan base right now is a smart one, and not just a meat and potatoes one that will just yell the Bulls and will follow nonstop. I think it's a demanding fan base, and I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, I think Jordan and I give our listeners a lot of credit, because based on the reactions and the questions and the comments that we get on a daily basis, I mean, we do a Bulls podcast 5 days a week, even in the off season. And the fact that we do a Bulls podcast through the summer months, 5 days a week, and we have people wanting to talk to us about it, like, that tells you just how insanely passionate this fan base is.
Right.
So,
right.
As a guy who's been on Chicago Sports Talk Radio for 20 years, I'm curious, Sylvie, can you remember a time when this intelligent and well-informed, passionate fan base has been this down and this fed up with this team as far as compared to the vibe around this fan base right now?
No. I think this is the rock bottom. And but I'm not guaranteeing you that this will be rock bottom. It can always get worse. The Bulls
can always go lower.
It can always go lower, right, guys? I mean, you know, Floyd years were awful, but those were on the heels of the championship years. And then they were trying to find their way. And then, you know, in the mid-2000s, you know, we had teams that we could really, really like. And I think we all appreciate a good, hard-working team, but I think we know what it takes to win championships now. And we're in a day and age where you've got to get those stars, and it's not just one. So they have made good moves. Like, you guys were just hitting on this. The Jimmy trade, that was a really good return for Jimmy Butler. And we're seeing what's going on there now. And Markkanen at 7 and Wendell at 7 was good. I don't know why they promised their second first-round pick this year that they were going to pick
Hutchison.
Hutchison, why they promised him a month before. I mean, maybe he'll eventually show something, but they refused to play him. And that's another sore spot with me, is like, I can't stand Justin Holiday playing 40 minutes. I don't get it. I'm not a pro, hey, let's tank and try and lose. I'm a pro, let's play all of our young guys and grow. And if losses come while we're playing young guys and we're growing, fine. But let Lowry play. Let Wendell play. In my opinion, I don't know how you guys feel. In my opinion, there should be never a game where Robin Lopez plays more minutes than Wendell Carter. The other night, he wasn't even in foul trouble. And Robin Lopez replaced Wendell with a minute and a half left. It was in their win, and it pissed me off. That's where Wendell Carter learns how to grow. And I had the famous line years ago to Vinny when they were doing the same thing with Derrick Rose. They would take him out and they would put someone else in. I think it was Tabo would replace him back in the day. And I said to Vinny, Derrick Rose at the end of the game. And Vinny's like, well, you think we're ready to win a championship now? It's not about that. It's about having your star or future star on the court. These are moments where rebuilds are all about player development. And Wendell has to be on the court with a minute and a half left, even if you think Robin Lopez gives you a better chance to win that specific game. So it drives me crazy that Hutchison doesn't play more. I don't want Holiday playing 40 minutes, and I don't want Robin Lopez taking up a time from Wendell Carter.
It drives me nuts, too. The same thing that they did with Lauri Markkanen a couple weeks ago, bringing him off the bench for one game. What purpose does that serve? Same thing with Chris Dunn. Like, they're going to plan to bring Chris Dunn off the bench again against Orlando tomorrow night. Like, I don't understand those types of moves. I'm curious, though. The one player that seems to be the guy that had to be the anchor for the first 25 games is Zach LaVine. And, you know, you look at Zach LaVine and how frustrated he's been over the last couple of weeks. And while his play hasn't been up to the standard that it was in the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, his usage is at an all-time high. He was trying to do everything. He's playing the point guard position, which frankly, I don't think that's the best position for him to be in with the assist to turnover ratio that he has and the problem of handling the ball at the late ends of games. But the one thing that I'm more concerned about is his relationship with Boylan going forward. This is Zach's fifth coach in 5 years in the NBA. So if that relationship doesn't change, and pretty quickly, you can see it emotionally, verbally, and physically, Zach LaVine is fed up. So do you feel like Boylan can tap into LaVine, or is that going to be a relationship that maybe we should watch closer towards the end of the season? I don't want to get to a point where Levine's going to go to management and say, you know what, I'm done. I want out. I want out of here. So what do you feel? What do you think about Zach LaVine's game overall and his relationship and all of a sudden trying to become that leader now for this team?
You nailed it. I mean, when you have to do too much and he's not a point guard and he's not going to be an efficient player playing that role. And my hope was that Lowry would come back and he wouldn't have to take all the shots and Dunn's going to come back and put him in better positions and he doesn't have to do everything. And you could get some form of the team here going in chemistry. I mean, that's what the Bulls have lacked over the last couple of years. We may like each individual piece and say that Zach's good and we like Lowry and we like Wendell and we're still not sure about Dunn, but they have, I mean, I don't know if you guys have the stat, how many games have they played together? How many games have they started together? And that's another point
between
that you brought up.
Between last season and this season, it's now like maybe 15.
Right, like 15 games. So what are you doing bringing Chris Dunn off the bench? Like, okay, you finally have Chris Dunn next to Zach LaVine, next to Lowry Markkanen, with Wendell Carter. Get them on the floor and let them start a game and start chemistry. What do you? I don't understand what you're easing him back for or what bringing him off the bench will make. It just makes it tougher, in my opinion, because you're warming up for a game. You're not playing a role that you're going to have to play. You're the starting point guard. You warm up, you sit down, you stiffen up. It's hard enough. Start the game and get some chemistry with these guys. And no, and I think it's a good point you bring up about Zach's frustration. Now, he's getting paid a lot of money, so he's going to have to deal with that and understand that. But hopefully, like a lot of Bears players who were on last year's team and 2 years ago, that even when you lose, when you finally do get the right coach or right front office and you're able to get the right players in place, the previous year won't stunt their growth. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. So let's you don't have to be sunshine and rainbows optimistic if you want. We want your real honest answer here. We're talking about these pieces of the young core that the Bulls have assembled. Front office aside, we're done talking about the front office and the issues we have with them. Whether it's Boylan or whether it's some other coach, assuming that these young players, we're talking about the core of Markkanen, LaVine, Wendell, hopefully Dunn, now that he's finally coming back healthy, puts together a good stretch of 50 or so games this season, proves like he belongs. Assuming that core and some kind of an additional lottery pick in 2019 is added to that core, do you see this core as enough of a contender to really build towards not just playoff contention, but championship contention? Because that's the big question about this rebuild right now. Some fans think that between Markkanen and LaVine, we've got enough star power. A lot of fans still think that we're still one big, legitimate number one scorer, that LaVine's more of a number two guy on a contending team. What do you see the ceiling as for this young core right now, Sylvie?
Yeah, or Zach's maybe even a three. I don't even know. I mean, he's got to be more efficient. What I am most fearful as a Bulls fan about is that you tore it down just to get back to where you were. Like, I don't want them to go through this whole rebuild and then 5 years later, you're back to being a 48-50 win team, the number four seed in the East, only getting to the second round. There's a front office that's been to the Eastern Conference Finals once. You've won one Eastern Conference Finals game. That's it. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. Now, Lowry is the wild card. I told you earlier about my love for Lowry. I feel like if you develop him the right way with the right pieces around him, who knows what he can be? The sky's the limit. Do I believe he's going to be a one, a true one? Probably not. Can he be a 1A? Maybe. I definitely believe he could be a 2. How are you going to get that one? Are you going to be bad enough to draft at the top? or are you going to win some games here, and are you going to play some of these veterans and not spin them off for whatever you can get? To me, I've read some stuff about Justin Holliday. Flip him already. You know, get the best you can get, flip him, play more young guys. Lopez, if you want him in the locker room just to keep the peace, don't play him that much, but play all the young guys and let them grow. But no, I feel like what I would do if I'm Michael Reinsdorf and Jerry is I would tell Pax, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for you as a player. Thank you for you as an assistant. Thank you for you as a broadcaster. Thank you for you as the general manager and VP. Your time's up. You're going to be the senior advisor to the owner, but on a day-to-day basis, we're going to go find, you know, what the Blackhawks found years ago when they changed things up with Rocky. We're going to find what the Cubs found with Theo. We're going to find what the Bears have found with what they've got going on. We need a new set of eyes to build the roster, and we need a real coach. So find smart basketball guys and hire them and give them a shot to build that championship team that we hope we can have.
I'm with you on that. And, you know, Matt and I have argued back and forth the last couple of weeks about Justin Holliday's trade value. And we've had people call us and tell us to shut the hell up about Justin Holliday's trade value because nobody wants him. But that's differing circumstances. But I feel like that's the guy that if there's anybody on this roster that can go to a contending team and be a guy that can come off the bench and score at a pretty decent clip, it would be him. So at least a second round pick. I say that they should get at least a pair of second round picks, considering what Korver's gone for, considering what George Hill just went
not
for.
Not happening, bro. No.
I'm still dreaming.
Whatever it is, just get it and move on. I mean, you know, and here's probably something. This is a point I want to bring up that you probably disagree with, and I bet you a lot of your listeners will disagree with. I would, if Bobby Portis starts playing well, I would try and get something for him. And hopefully that could be like a Meritage deal where you could get a first round pick. And here's why. Let me just tell you why. A, you got enough power forwards. You're not winning with power forwards in this league. We need shooters. We need athletes. Number two, you're going to have to pay for him. Bobby Portis is a guy that I'm happy to pay for if I've got a ready-to-win team in place, and then you got to go to restricted free agency and you got to pay him. But what's the point of giving Bobby Portis money to just be a sixth man or just be a role guy? If there's anything this front office has been able to do, it's find role guys. They found the Taj Gibsons. They found the Bobby Portises. They've drafted guys. You can always get those guys. And I know there are a lot of Bobby Portis fans, but I just don't believe that you pay a Bobby Portis in his free agency year. So that's why when he comes back and starts playing well, I would flip him as soon as I could for a first-round pick. You guys buy him?
We've talked about that, too. In all cases aside, we had Bobby on a couple months ago. We did an event with him back in September, and I got my ass kicked in bowling by him. So don't ever challenge him to a bowling match.
He bowled a 265, Sylvie. What's your average bowling score?
I don't bowl often, but I'm confident that right now I could get on a lane and roll like a 150.
That's respectable.
I thought the same thing, and I got my ass kicked.
What's that?
I said I thought the same thing. I went in with a lot of confidence, and Bobby brought his own ball, and I got my ass.
Well, yeah, you know you're in trouble when someone's bringing their own ball. You're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Sylvie, we had a great time chatting with you, man. We love the fact you stopped by the Locked On Bulls pod. Before we let you go, you and Waddle do amazing public events, doing live shows at bars and restaurants around the city and the suburbs. Do you guys have something on deck, something scheduled for the holiday season?
Look at you. I mean, that's a perfect setup right there. We're Twin Peaks on Friday in Wheeling. So if you're in the northern suburbs, not far from where I live, corner of Lake Cook and Milwaukee Avenue, it's our holiday party, 2 to 6. We'll be on the air. Waddle's dressed as Santa. We lost a bet. I'm going to be dressed as Mrs. Claus. It's actually like a it's like an R-rated Mrs. Claus, basically. A skimpy Mrs. Claus got to dress as.
Like Mrs. Claus and the French maid outfit?
Right. That's exactly what it is, yes. I think you know too much about that.
I'm just guessing.
Yes.
It's not like I have one of those in my dresser or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope not. So no. So check us out there. But, you know, one thing I want to say to you guys is what you guys do is amazing. To do a Bulls podcast every day to reach the people that you're reaching and to the fans out there who listen to you guys, just know that there are a lot of guys in the media who want change, that there are a guy like me who's just we may not agree on everything, but I want championships, and everything should be geared for that seventh championship. And I just love that there are so many listeners out there who, like I said, smart Bulls fans who want and demand and never stop that. And never embrace mediocrity and always demand excellence. And it's something that you guys should continue to do. So I love that there's the appetite out there for what you guys do. And thanks to you guys and to all the fans for listening.
Hey, Sylvie, we really appreciate that, man. And see, now that was the other thing I wanted to figure out was why you give C. Red Fred so much airtime. It's because you want that seventh ring as much as he does. That's what it is.
Yes. Now, we see it differently. He's way more blue skies and sunshine than I am.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I love that. I mean, you know, any of you guys who want it, we love guys who call and care and have brains.
Yes.
You know, we get a lot of some callers who call a lot, who I know when they're on the board, oh, maybe I shouldn't go to them because it's the same old, same old. Not about the Bulls, about other sports. And it's just a meatheadish approach. But like I said about the Bulls fans know their stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love the fan base so much. And we're all frustrated right now. We deserve better.
Well, there it is. Power to the people, Mark Silverman. He's Mark Silverman, a.k.a. Sylvie, host of the Waddle and Sylvie Show, weekday afternoons, ESPN 1000, the best radio in Chicago sports talk. You can follow him on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie. I'm sure you already are. If you aren't, go do it right now. Sylvie, thanks so much for coming by Locked On Bulls, man. It was an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Once again, we want to thank Sylvie for jumping on the show. A lot of like-minded thoughts from us here, the Bulls fans, from Matt and I, from you guys, the listeners, and Sylvie takes calls every single day from Bulls fans, and he gets it. He said this was his number one love, so he gets it too. So thanks again for him for jumping on the show. Follow him on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie. You can listen to him Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 p.m. Central Time on ESPN 1000 here in Chicago. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Matt. Valley Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.